Oh no.
Oh no. All right. So this is Couch episode 98, mayonnaise cake.
Yeah, why not?
I just found out what a mayonnaise cake is. It sounds disgusting, but think about it. Mayonnaise is just oil, an egg, and a little bit of vinegar. Those are ingredients in an awful lot of cakes, except for the vinegar.
Yeah.
So it sounds disgusting, but it's actually not.
Mayonnaise by itself.
I like mayonnaise, but man, I would not eat it straight from the jar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could do that. I remember when I worked at Round the Clock, like years and years ago. At this point, we can say decades. They'd make their own mayonnaise, and it was just so disgusting because you would just see this huge vat of just mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And when it's just like that, it's like, that's just so much mayonnaise.
Yeah, I like mayonnaise, but like I said, I wouldn't go swimming in it.
Yeah, I've been, this is like my fourth weekend of doing comedy, I think.
Yeah.
Fourth straight weekend. Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. They all kind of blend together now.
Yeah, I don't think we have any gigs coming up at all.
And I'm supposed to go down to, supposed to do a spot tonight in Columbia, Maryland, but I don't know if that's happening or not.
Yeah.
And so
we had another gig supposed to be this month, or in December rather.
Yeah.
But that fell through. So they rescheduled it, I guess.
Yeah, my December is fairly light, like on purpose. I did that on purpose.
We try to take January off.
Yeah, well, the winter months are, you know, January, February are normally the worst months. And like March can go either way.
Yeah.
Just because of the cold, and I guess because in January, you know, we're in the height of winter. So it's just gloomy, and I don't know. It's a sucky time of year. I think it's probably my least favorite month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like winter. I just wish it was about a month shorter.
Yeah.
With an extra month of either summer, spring, fall, or all three, you know, divided equally.
Yeah. Plus, I'm not a big fan of snow. Lots and lots of snow. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I think like once every couple of years is fine for me.
Yeah, it's just so much work shoveling and, you know, blowing or whatever the fuck you're doing, salt and shit like that, ice. Yeah.
When my snowblower breaks, which will probably be decades from now, I'm just going to hire people.
Yeah.
To hell with it. I'm sick of this.
Yeah, it just gets old.
Yeah, and I even have a snowblower, but you still end up having to, if the snow's not deep enough, you have to shovel it. If it's too deep, you have to shovel it, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be just right. There is a fairly wide range between, like, I think 3 to like 10 inches, but still.
Yeah.
I'm usually out there shoveling by hand no matter what happens.
Yeah. Like, I could not live in a place like Buffalo where you're getting like 4 feet of fucking snow.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that.
I suppose if it happened all the time, you'd be used to it.
Well, that is true, but you still have to, I guess, enjoy it or put up with it at some point.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if you have snow year round, you just get used to it.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. I think also it has a lot to do with what you're born with. We get more snow here in central PA than we got in West Virginia. And I've never quite acclimated to the 3 foot snows we get like once a decade.
Yeah. And now this sounds like the old man weather report.
Bye. As soon as I had a job, I didn't like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We had to deal with the bullshit and.
Yeah. And being at work, are they going to let us out or not?
Yeah. Okay, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can we go, Dad? Can we? I always get tired of the people that, you know, they want to brag that they made it to work on time and shit like that.
Yeah.
So I had to do this to get here. It's like, who cares?
Well, what else are you going to talk about, you know?
I guess, but it's when I hear that, it's like, who cares? We work for a corporation.
Yeah.
You know, you could spend all morning trying to get in there and they would fucking fire you when you walk in the door.
Yeah.
Within a heartbeat. And be like, oh, this is, we appreciate that you did all that to come in, but guess what? We're letting you go.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about snow. Yes.
And it's weird. It seems like the higher up you go and the better the job is, the more lenient they are with things like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Also, if you have a union, they're pretty lenient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go missing for weeks at a time. Where's Ron at? Ah, he just disappeared. He's on his annual, I disappear for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But not enough to get fired. It's the world I want to live in. Yeah, you just get tired of the heat. Like, you got to run heat in your house. But then I think I get tired, too, of always having to wear a coat.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere you go. And it's
One thing I've noticed is I pay more for electric than I do for gas. And I have gas heat, so.
Yeah, it's just more of two of hating wearing a winter coat all the time. And
yeah,
it's that shit. And like the big, you know, the coats and stuff while you're driving.
Yeah.
Oh, then the worst part is like around that weird springtime period, even fall, where it's sometimes it might be cold, then all of a sudden it like warms up.
Yeah.
And you're in that weird in between coat time and it's like, ah. Oh.
One thing I love about my thermostat, I forget who made it. It's not a Nest, but it's like a Nest.
Okay.
I can set a max temperature and a minimum, so I don't have to touch it. My old thermostat, I had to switch it from heat to air conditioning all the time.
Yeah.
During spring and fall. This one, I just set a max and a minimum, let it deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That smart technology like that for those thermostats is awesome.
Yeah, and it also, I can set schedules so it turns it on and off at different times.
Yeah. And it's funny to think that, you know, in the olden days, like 30 years ago, you know, people have to you'd have to play with their thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those job skills that are lost, you know, one of those important skills, like what do you do while the porno's downloading?
Yeah. We gotta stare and wait for the picture to load up.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's an arm. I can see an arm.
Yeah, I figured you could like download 3 pictures at once and play a game of solitaire and come back and they'd be loaded.
Yeah.
Just information like that that's being lost to history.
Yeah. I downloaded so much probably useless porn.
I know, because you'd have to download it and get half, maybe in 3/4 of the way through the picture before you saw if it was any good.
Yeah, it was the worst. I kind of miss news groups occasionally.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could just go to 4chan, essentially, or Reddit. Yeah, the good old days of having to wait for a picture.
Yeah.
And now you're pissed if your video doesn't load up or it doesn't buffer properly.
Yeah. And not only that, it's like, why is it switching back to 1080p?
Yeah.
Why don't I pay for?
I can't see this picture. God damn it. Yeah. It's not quite as cool as watching scrambled television to see porn.
Yeah. Or I'm sure you remember the first time you got a multimedia computer and you could actually watch a video.
Yeah.
You had a 14-inch screen. And it was still the size of a postage stamp. Yep. 15 frames a second. You are shocked. Yeah. Wow. Computers have come so far.
And then the audio is like just slightly digital.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or,
well, it sounds kind of like it's coming over a phone, because we had I had pretty bad speakers.
Yeah, that, and it just sounds digital.
Yeah.
And it's like the clarity, and yeah. Yeah.
What was that one CD? I bought some multimedia CD when I got my first multimedia PC, and you were making fun of it.
Yeah.
I think it was the Grammys.
Yeah.
And I was just absolutely thrilled and couldn't understand why you weren't. You realize just how shitty our computers were 6 months ago. Like, not that I actually want to watch this. It's just, it was all they had at Walmart.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, yeah. Like the amount of terrible software that was made.
Yeah.
For computers. Because, you know, that's stuff like that, like Grammys or fucking clip art. And,
yeah.
So
and of course, once you bought it, you felt obligated to use it.
Yeah. Who doesn't need another 5,000 click art images?
Mm-hmm. This has got the Flintstones on it, man.
Yeah.
I don't actually like the Flintstones, but... This is probably worth some serious money right there. And of course, in my mind, I could remember when you had to pay like, you know, $50 to get a single floppy disk with like 30 or 40 clip art images. So now the fact that it was like $5 and you could get 5,000 clip art, yeah. Even though I had no use for any clip art ever.
It's going to make a comeback, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it kind of does. I mean, I've been using the, what is that crap? AI imagery.
Yeah. Yeah, I use that to make the the cover pictures for the podcast.
Yeah, I've been doing that too, because it saves you you just kind of type in a few things and it comes up with some weird picture. That's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good enough and it's different. They can choose different styles and shit like that.
Yeah, which AI are you using?
I've been using, what is it called? Wombo.
Okay, how do you spell that?
That is, sure, I have it right here. Wombat. Here we go. It's Wombo Art, and it's spelled W-O-M-B-O.
All right. Yeah, because I've been using Crayon, Crayon. And it's not that fast and it's not that good, but it has no filter. You can type in anything you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I've been using this other one, DALL-E, but they have all this, you can only get so many images a month on it. And there's, you know, if you try to type in like, fuck you, asshole. So, oops, those words violate our terms of use.
That's bullshit right there. It's like, yeah. it's AI. What do you think it wants, you know?
And so really, it just kind of becomes an arms race, everyone trying to get around it. I mean, I can understand why they do it if they're trying to commercialize this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't want like deep fake neo-Nazis. Oh, I got it from DALL-E.
Yeah. But have you read any of this stuff about AI and what they've experienced and... It's fascinating because like when Google started their AI and it was going like the engineer who's like behind this and stuff, he said it became incredibly racist within the first few days.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, we had to make some tweaks.
Yeah, because AI is only good as its training. And if you train it with without specifically getting it, you just train it with popular culture, it turns racist. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
And there is a difference between racist and insensitive, but yeah. I remember that. It was racist.
And like the AI is really dropping the hard R. It's not coming in with a soft A.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things, like if you typed in a gorilla and it drew a picture of a black guy, yeah, that's like, that's not necessarily racist. That's just really, I mean, it is, but yeah. It's...
I think some people would disagree with that statement. That'd be incredibly racist.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's at least an honest mistake, and you can train that out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in that sense, it wasn't intentionally racist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because to me, to really be racist, you kind of have to be intentionally racist. There's a fine that, well, it's not a line. It's kind of a broad spectrum here between what's clearly racist. This is clearly just an accident. And there's a whole broad spectrum in between.
Yeah.
And the exact line is different for everybody. So we'll just go with that. Don't argue or we'll be here all day.
I'm sorry, our AI is being racist today. It has to shut down.
Yeah.
You know, that will be the future. Like, you'll go to a McDonald's or whatever, and some fucking AI will be running it. And it'll be like, sorry, we can't serve food. The AI got a bit too racist this morning. We're just cursing out the employees, and then when customers come up, I mean... It's digging up shit we haven't heard in 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to, I had to ask my racist uncle what that even meant.
I'm writing that down myself. AI being racist in the future. Like, it'd be some fun with that.
Mm-hmm. I remember the Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guidebooks had something like that. It was supposed to be an AI that would scan your taste buds and create a drink specially tailored for you, but no matter who you were, it would make the exact same drink. and you would add, like, Arthur, the English guy, would ask it for tea, and it would produce a drink that was almost, but not quite, entirely unlike tea.
Yeah. Weird. Laura's showing me this mouse pad that Gavin has for his computer. Oh, that he gave to Laura, apparently.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a picture of it right now. Because me just describing it, I mean, I guess I will. So, yeah.
You sending it through Facebook or through Zoom?
I'm going to send it through Facebook.
All right.
It's just easier.
Yeah, I don't even know how to do it through Zoom.
Yeah, well, I can do it, but then I have to put it on my computer and shit. So, yeah. I sent it to you.
Yeah, I see it.
So, I don't know. I don't know if that's a present for Laura that he left, potentially. So it's Deadpool with tits, or a female Deadpool with tits.
Yeah.
And it's ergonomic for your wrist, so your wrist can gently lay between the cleavage of the mouse.
Yeah. Well, at least I know who Deadpool is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to give me some credit.
Yeah, that is true. Good job.
I had to look him up because there's this guy on YouTube that just makes stuff. Yeah. And he always introduces a video. It's him dressed as Deadpool.
Yeah.
And doing things. So I had to look up, like, who the hell is this? Oh, it's Deadpool. And then I read a bit about it. It's like, oh, this seems cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty in character.
Yeah. It's funny to think, as funny as you are, that you could be taken down in a trivia contest by pop culture.
I know. I'm great to have. I'm a great asset on a trivia team because I know the stumpers. I know all of them, but my God, don't ask me anything. I will fail at the most obvious questions. So, yeah, if you're putting together a trivia team, I'm a great third person to have.
Yeah, just lay off the pop culture.
And I will know obscure pop culture that no one else knows. You know? It's all the Halloween that almost wasn't. Oh yeah, that was Judd Hirsch. Oh my God. Movie came out when I was still in diapers. How do I know? So they referenced it a lot on Mystery Science Theater, so I typed it in one day recently just to see what it was about.
Yeah, obscure pop culture.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I do owe you an apology for that Ramones a lot. Yeah. You know, I recently heard some Ramones live.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Which one?
The newest, like the newest one. Yeah, you know, the newest one that came out like 30 years ago.
Oh. No, there were a bunch of them.
Yeah. No, I'm fuck, I can't even remember the name of the album now. It's one where the red, white, and blue Ramones.
Loco Live?
Yes. Yeah,
yes. Oh my God, that one is awful.
Yes. Yeah, I heard like the first time in a very long time hearing something off of that. It's like, God, that was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically the first one, It's Alive, that was the Ramones at their peak live. So
that is still by far one of my favorite live albums, because you can just feel the energy coming off of it.
It's possibly the best Ramones album, period.
Yeah.
I mean, even the songs I don't like sounded good on that album.
Yeah. But yeah, then like Loco Live, like the guitar, it just sounds like a droning.
Yeah. You know, that's not even live. They redid that in the studio.
Really?
Yeah. That's basically just them in the studio playing a log to them playing live. And if you listen to it on headphones, you can sometimes hear like Joey interacting with the crowd in the background, like as a song ends or begins. And you can hear that the cymbals are a little off.
Yeah.
In a few spots. And even Mark is like, that's probably the worst thing the Ramones ever did.
Yeah.
He played drums on it. So he's like, this was awful. The only thing live was the audience reaction at the end of the track.
All right, dog. Stop. Yeah, even Marky's wig agrees that it's
Well, it's different. We hear a dog instead of a cat this time.
Yeah. Yeah, she's all uppity because she just wants to go out. I'm not leaving you out, because then you just bark outside.
Yeah.
She's just excited. She's really excited too, since the weather has changed.
Yeah.
And with it being cold out, she's like, this is my summer.
Uh-huh. All right. So while we're talking about live, you want to talk about Taylor Swift and Ticket Bastard.
Yeah. So
I vaguely knew who Taylor Swift was. So yeah. I actually did some prep. I listened to one of her songs about halfway through.
Okay. What song was that?
The newest one, Anti-Hero.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not even sure if I've heard that. I probably have. I don't know.
If she's popular and you listen to pop music, you probably heard it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know who Taylor Swift is. I know of her and like her music. And it's like with her, I have like, I'm not a fan, and obviously I'm not her fan base.
No.
You know, I'm not a girl, late teenager or early teens or probably 20s.
Yeah.
But musically, yeah, I'm not a big fan, but I do respect her as an artist,
mm-hmm.
for the simple fact that because of the position that she's in, she actually went back and has fought to reclaim all her old recordings.
Yeah.
And so that way she actually gets the royalties for the work that she put in writing the songs.
Yeah.
So she had been going through this this lawsuit for years with this guy. He's got a dipshit name, a Scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his fucking name is Scooter. So right there, if you're dealing with anyone named Scooter, you know that person is just going to be an ass.
Yeah. Well, they'll either be the best person ever or the worst person ever. Yeah, they're not going to be anything in between.
Yeah, there's no gray area with a scooter. But she went through years of this lawsuit to get her recordings back. And so what she did, they found a way around it. And so she went back and she's been recording, re-recording and re-releasing her old albums.
Yeah.
And so she can kind of record them the way that she wanted to do. And now that she does that, if someone wants to use it, they actually have to go to her first.
Yeah.
And get her permission.
A lot of artists do that, surprisingly. Yeah. I mean, Fear did it. And I know, God, what's that? It's not Duran Duran. It's the metal hard rock band with the drummer with one arm.
Yeah, Def Leppard.
Yeah, Def Leppard did that. And they told their fans, don't buy this.
Yeah.
We're doing this so that, you know, when a movie wants to use a Def Leppard song, they can come to us and pay us the, you know, 20, 30 grand. And we don't have, instead of the record label taking like 19 of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So she did that and she did win her case. And that's why she has been doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's not like she needs the money, but I get it from the creative principle. It's like, that is you poured your blood and sweat and into creating that.
Yeah.
And you should reap the benefits of your work, especially if it takes off and people are buying it. I mean, yeah.
I can understand for your first album or two where the record label's taking a real big risk and they're paying for the recording. They're paying for the producer. They're paying for the videos. They're putting shitloads of money into you. And if you don't deliver, you know, why should you get paid millions of dollars?
Yes. But
after your first album or two, that should end. You should not sign any more than maybe a 3-album deal.
Yeah. But as you know, too, I mean, you're right with that said, but also there are so many artists because of that, they get fucked over.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe they don't hit that big right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And they're basically, it's like being enslaved because you got to work to pay that money off.
Yeah.
That the record company is fronting you. So let's just say it's, I don't know, $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to pay that back. And that's not like you're getting a whole $250,000 because there's going to be taxes. And so it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, with all that said, now going on to Ticketbastard, you know, Ticketbastard is basically like a record company that everyone's known about for decades. And now people are finally like, oh, this sucks. Like, no shit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, paying... What's frustrating is the price of tickets. Then those cocksuckers, they have a piece of the secondary market as well.
Yeah.
Like, they own the companies that are selling the fucking second... You know, it's just greed and... It's just frustrating, and I'm glad maybe they're getting more heat than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Will things change? Who knows? Maybe doubtful.
Yeah.
But yeah, buying concert tickets is a horrific experience.
Yeah, at least if you want to see anyone popular.
Yeah, and the real fans that actually want to see the band are most of the time the ones that either get fleeced completely or they get locked out completely.
Yeah. I did say they were see that they're doing this verified fans thing.
Yeah.
To reduce scalping. I think that's a good idea, but depends on the implementation.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that that's kind of broken down.
Yeah.
And that they were basically verified bots.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. And if I were a verified fan and somebody offered me, it's like, oh, you know, we'll give you so many $100. for your I'd sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, one thing that I was thinking, though, it really seems like supply and demand. Like all these issues, maybe Taylor Swift needs to tour more.
Yeah. That could be. I mean, that's what they're saying. It's like it's a demand issue, supply and demand. But at the same time,
the supply and demand issue has exposed the rotten filth behind.
Yeah, because if you're a Ticketmaster and you're selling Taylor Swift tickets as a company, you already know that's a hot ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not gonna have to worry about is anyone gonna want to buy this ticket? No, you know you can move. You know you can move them, and you know you're going to move a lot of them.
Yeah. If it doesn't sell out the first day that it went on, it would have sold out if they hadn't had the system failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first day it was open to anyone.
But it's, Ticketmaster is just one part of the problem, because how Ticketmaster operates they get into these contracts with these large venues. Let's just say like a Madison Square Garden, and there's shadiness there too.
Mm-hmm.
The way the venues, work with Ticketmaster. It's like, I don't know like the inner workings, but even like producing shows at, my level, and like working with some larger venues, you really see how if you got some money and some power, how you could easily manipulate that system.
Yeah.
So to rig the system to make it like, I'm going to put this in God mode because I want to win every round.
Yeah.
And the bullshit of,
it's not about rich. It's about how rich.
Yeah. And like Live Nation is the same way too. And that's what probably the argument would be. Well, Live Nation is a competitor, but are they?
Yeah,
because they're a big entity as well. They're just, I would say, they're just like Ticketmaster, mm-hmm. just a little different.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just frustrating that it's still at this point in time that there's such a monopoly on fucking tickets.
Yeah, people are slowly waking up to the idea that monopolies are bad.
Yeah, I know. It's it took this long. That's so frustrating about the pandemic. It's like seeing like people wake up and like, oh, this is wrong. Like, no shit.
Yeah.
Like people have only been talking about this for two decades. And you're like, oh yeah, this is bad. But I mean, the whole fucking Ticketmaster, I almost see like Ticketmaster, and it's the same with like Walt Disney, like Disney World, because I've read so many things of late where people are saying like it's not really viable anymore.
Yeah,
for a family vacation to go to Disney because it's so expensive.
Yeah,
who wants to drop a minimum of $5,000 so you can go stand in line for hours?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that gets me frustrated, especially in today's market, because everyone wants to make cash, and this goes along with like Ticketmaster. Everyone wants to make cash. So between if you go to Disney, it's like, all right, you're already paying, say, $5,000. And then they hit you like, oh, but maybe you don't want to stand in line. Maybe spend an extra $200 a person. And you can get the fast pass.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, like the fast pass or whatever you call it has levels too. I mean, are you going to be a cheap ass and just spend the $200, or are you going to spend the $300 and get the ultra fast pass?
Yeah. I mean, I could understand if the general ticket was affordable for a family.
Yeah.
And then they had these perks for the, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with that. You pay more, you get more. But yeah. Everybody should get a good experience, and everybody should be able to afford it. Yeah. Within reason, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, homeless people might not be able to afford it.
Yeah. Oh, hey, no, you're going to get us canceled. You can't say homeless anymore, Dave. It's unhoused.
Oh, yeah.
That is literally the worst thing you could say. I think that's worse than homeless. Oh, that person's unhoused.
Yeah.
No, homeless. Drifter. So I don't know. It's not like I have a solution for Ticketmaster. It just irritates me.
Yeah.
I like concerts and things, but I've not gone to concerts because I don't want to pay outrageous service fees and shit like that.
Yeah. I didn't go see the Dickies recently.
Yeah.
They were playing like right in my backyard practically. I didn't go. Of course, I already saw him once, and I don't even remember who else was on the bill, but it's Greg Ginn's latest attempt at Black Flag, and I have no interest.
Yeah. God, how old is he now?
I don't know. Not as old as the guys in the Dickies, and I would pay to see them, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another guy I work with, he's in a band, he's in a metal band called Burn the Martyr.
Yeah.
And they just played with Raven at the West York Inn. Do you know who Raven is?
No.
No, I didn't know either, but apparently Raven is they've been around. They're like Metallica credits them for like inspiration as for the band they turned into because of this band. So that band Raven, they played the West York Inn, and these guys are in their early 70s.
Yeah.
And Barry told me, he's like, for a bunch of guys that are in their 70s, they're still fucking rocking hard.
Yeah.
And they played the West York Inn. Then like a week later, they were opening for Metallica. Someplace for like 50,000 people, some festival or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the point, but it's just funny to see a band that's been around that long. And, you know, a lot of people don't know them, but they're significant, I guess, in some point. And they're still playing those tiny gigs, but then they're still playing gigs with fucking Metallica.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're that age and you can still do it, I mean, why not?
Yeah. So I guess that gets us to the highlight of the show. Worst songs to strip to.
Now, would it be an overstatement to say that I'm completely unprepared? No.
Well, at least I sent it to you and told you I was going to ask you this.
Yeah. Well, no, you did. You did. It's all on me. It's all on me. But go ahead. I'm sure I can come up with some shit.
All right. Well, I picked Sam Stone, which is not a real well-known song. It's by John Prine, because, I mean, imagine trying to do like a real sexy strip routine to an acoustic folk song about a Vietnam War veteran that dies of a heroin overdose and leaves his family destitute.
Yeah, that definitely wouldn't be a great song to strip to.
Yeah. Also,
go ahead.
Baby Shark.
Yeah. I think people just hate that song in general.
Yeah.
But I think people are stripping to it.
Somebody probably is somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I know one would be terrible. Just, I think because just my hatred of the song. But I would have to say American Pie by Don McLean.
Yeah.
That would be a terrible song to strip to.
Yeah. I mean, there's like no beat. There's no sex in that song at all.
No.
I mean the Osmonds look dirty in comparison.
The Osmonds.
Also, how about The Witch Doctor by the Chipmunks?
I'm not even sure if I've ever heard that.
Oh yeah. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the chipmunks come in. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to strip to that. Also, this could go either way. Having my baby.
Yeah. Who does that song?
I don't remember. Somebody in the 70s. I know the Circle Jerks covered it.
What about, you know, we could also, more than just one song, you could, we could easily say a lot of songs from like the bubblegum era of rock would fit into this category.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them have beats, and you could, but like Indian Giver, which I don't even think you could play anymore without someone like being offended, I guess.
Yeah.
Is, you know,
taste change, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I wonder how that song would fly today.
Yeah. I was also thinking just about anything sung by children, especially like Aaron Carter.
Oh, yeah.
How I Beat Shaq. Boy.
Oh, yeah. Or like early, if you're going like early 90s like that, you could go with Crisscross.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's got a beat, but it's not.
Well, yeah. At least that's got a beat. I mean, but pretty much any of Aaron Carter's early stuff.
Not so much as later stuff.
No.
Yeah, that would be a terrible. Oh, I can easily say anything by this band, I would be terrible to. Air Supply.
Yes, that's exactly. Oh, he's going to say Air Supply, isn't he?
I hate that band so much.
Oh man, even Captain and Tennille are hardcore in comparison.
Yeah, well, at least Captain and Tennille have a couple good songs.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I could see people in the 70s probably doing it to Captain and Tennille.
Yeah,
you know, not in any decade since.
You know, like the last night we're in Fratelli's, and this is like after the show, and we're just hanging at the bar. And like the bar music is playing, like the jukebox is playing, and someone played the song Lollipop.
Yeah,
you know that song from the 50s.
Yeah, I think it was early 60s, but whatever. I think it was pre-British Invasion or just after.
Yeah, and you know, I was listening to that, and I'm not sure if that song is it supposed to be, you know, a metaphor for oral sex, or is it actually about just a fucking lollipop?
Yeah, because the song was probably written to be intentionally vague. Even if they didn't intend it, they knew. I'm sure by the time it was being pushed, they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, but early rock and ska kind of had a tendency of doing that.
Yeah.
It just brings that Save It For Later ska song from the 80s. Although that was more new wave, but whatever.
Yeah.
The band also did a lot of ska.
You know, there's actually, like, right now, there's sort of like a new wave scene and like a new wave sound that is out there. And
genres never really die.
Yeah. It's a little different. It's like the few of the bands that are doing it, some of them just sound like straight out of, it's like, oh, this is like from the goth era.
Yeah.
And there's some that are, you know, kind of improving on it and changing the sound just a little bit without losing like the tone of like goth and new wave. It's actually very interesting. And like, there's some really good shit out there.
Yeah. I've been listening to like EDM, but specifically 80s type EDM where they're, it, like the drums are modern, but they're using 80s synths. It's all sampled.
Yeah.
But still, they're using, you know, samples of 80s synths, trying to go for that 80s vibe.
Yeah. And, like, talking stuff like, you know, like along the lines of like Lords of Acid or like.
The one I'm specifically talking about is Omega Ronin.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know Omega Ronin.
Not real popular, but.
Yeah. And like, even with this like stripping music, there's a modern song that falls into like that sappy, like saccharine shit. And there's a song by Post Malone with, I forget who's on it with him, but it's called I Like You. And it's so fucking basic.
Yeah.
Like just the song production and I don't, it probably was made by AI, the song. Yeah. But all the song is like, I like you, I do. And that's the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a terrible song to strip to. But at the same time, it's almost a song for like 10 to 12 year olds.
Yeah.
When you listen to it.
Well, I think any children's music would fit here, really.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, just look it up and just hear a little bit of it and you'll know when you hear it, you say, ah, and that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'd like to pivot a little bit and talk about what if you're stripping for like a prostate exam and they're playing music? I only have a handful of ones for this.
Yeah. Well, hopefully someone's holding you up if you're going to try and dance, because once they give you that, like, oh, I'm out.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is not when you're dancing. This is you're stripping into your hospital gown.
Okay.
I was just thinking brutal death metal.
Yeah.
Also, remember Batman by Mucky Pup?
Yeah.
I don't think that would go very well.
You know, I saw... I saw like on Facebook, somebody I'm friends with, they went to a Cannibal Corpse concert.
Yeah.
Like just recently, like a few days ago. And, you know, I guess they're a big Cannibal Corpse fan.
Yeah.
And like, I still cannot wrap around my head just listening to death metal all the time. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It does not compute at all.
Yeah, that's where, I don't know, to me, that sort of metal crosses over from being like, you can kind of get into it, but then it crosses over the line to just pure cheese.
Yeah, to me, it's just absurdity.
Yeah.
Because I find it funny. I will literally laugh. I find it funny when you go into a room and there's like a DJ and they're blasting music, like aggressive music, and it's loud and the room is empty.
Yeah.
That always makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. I think it's because the absurdity of such aggressive music and no one really listening to it.
Yeah.
And when people walk in the room, they kind of just like turn around. Because
yeah,
like the tone is all wrong.
Now it would be kind of fun to like score somebody's wedding with Cannibal Corpse.
Right, hold on, I gotta let my dog out in a second.
All right,
he's going nuts. Yeah, if I can't imagine going to a wedding and they were like Cannibal Corpse fans.
Yeah.
And then you just hear that at their reception.
Yeah. Also, can you imagine, I don't want to sound ageist or anything, but yeah, when these people get old and they're in the old folks' home, you hear a Cannibal Corpse blasting.
Yeah. Between the absurdity of death metal, it just never makes sense to me that you're telling me you feel like that all the time where you just want to listen to. I don't know. It's to me, that almost sounds like someone that, you know, they're a bleeding heart conservative or a liberal. It's the same way. It's like, all right, take it down a few notches.
Yeah.
There is a person in there, right?
Yeah, the last one I was thinking, this fits anywhere. The Benny Hill theme.
I don't know. That kind of makes sense, though.
I don't know. That is the last thing I would want to hear anytime. If I'm not having madcap hijinks,
yeah,
I don't want to hear Benny Hill.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a different procedure.
Yeah. I don't even want to hear, even if I'm just like shaving, I don't want to hear the Benny Hill theme because I think it's going to start like, you know, start cutting me or jump away from me and start bouncing around the room.
Yeah, I'm always surprised a little bit when I come across a video and someone's using the Benny Hill theme.
Yeah. The song's just so perfect for that though.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you automatically, especially if you know of Benny Hill, you automatically associate it with madcap hijinks.
Yeah.
And people running around and I don't know, and maybe trying to strip women down. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Although he was usually tried to make it so that not always, but usually it's kind of hard to have trouble with those videos. He was usually not aggressive.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you know, it was all about embarrassment rather than I'm a sexual predator grabbing women's underwear.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's yeah. I don't ever look back and like when I'm watching that stuff and think like, oh, this is offensive to me. It's like, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it hasn't aged all that well. But
oh yeah, some things do not age well.
Yeah,
because yeah, obviously, especially comedy is tough. Comedy can age really bad, or it can age well. It can get better with age. I mean, Blazing Saddles is a perfect. That movie still holds up.
Yeah,
it is so fucking funny as hell.
I never cared for it all that much.
Yeah, there's so many great lines in that.
Yeah, and I just think that Mel Brooks did so many better things later. I think it's one of those things, if you were there at the time and you watched the movies in order, you could see how his later movies were kind of a letdown. But if you watch them all objectively, you realize some of the later movies were more fully realized.
Oh, yeah. No, I would say, like, I like Blazing Saddles, but, like, still one of my favorite Mel Brooks movies is History of the World Part 1.
Yeah.
Spaceballs, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, if you saw and fell in love with Blazing Saddles and then you saw Spaceballs, it's kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
If you saw Spaceballs first...
Yeah.
But and Blazing Saddles, it's like, it's Spaceballs, but not as good.
Yeah. And Young Frankenstein is a funny movie.
Yeah.
There's so many, there's so many great thing lines in that. And like Gene Wilder is just fucking perfect in that.
Yeah.
So I'm a big Mel Brooks fan, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. If I had to watch a movie, I would watch a Mel Brooks movie. But it'd probably be History of the World Part 1 because it's a skit film.
Yeah. And I have to get his book because I like to read his memoir.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
That it's maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but it's at least entertaining as it would, you know, as it should be.
Yeah. Have you checked out the Weird Al movie?
No, everyone I know watched it but me.
It's funny. It's good. It's funny. I wasn't sure what to expect, but it did deliver.
Yeah. I know. I was expecting it to be kind of... certainly, I wasn't expecting the ending. We should probably go ahead and spoil it, because the thing is, I haven't seen the movie, and I know the ending. So, yeah. It's been spoiled.
My favorite thing about the movie is that it changes tone, like hard tones. Like, you know, at one point, you know, it's just a regular music biopic. Then it turns into an action film. Then it just goes back to a biopic.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the horror elements, and yeah, it was a fun ride. I was pleased with it. It was a fun ride, and yeah, I'd probably watch it again or something. But I did like it.
Yeah.
And like the ridiculous cameos they had in it, and recreating the scenes with Dr. Demento.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a great scene when they go to this party, this house party, and it's set up like a scene in Boogie Nights. And there's all these people at this house party, and they're all like celebrities, but they're all, you know, like the weird celebrity. Of course, like Dr. Demento, like a Hulk Hogan,
mm-hmm.
Wolfman Jack.
Yeah.
And what I love too, what they did with Al, it went between that he's a serious artist making these songs, then like, you know, then Michael Jackson wanting to do a song
mm-hmm.
called Bad off of Fat. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of like romance. It is. It's ridiculous. It's everything an Al movie should be.
Yeah.
And I liked it because it was ridiculous, but they did an excellent job of not pushing the ridiculous too far.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, because it's supposed to be a biopic, and obviously, you know, they have exaggerated, but I think it's done well enough where the ridiculousness is, it's like, is this somewhat true?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, just the setting up of making his songs seem like the original sometimes was,
yeah,
it was funny.
Yeah, I might actually watch it someday.
Yeah, you should. And like Jack Black as Wolfman Jack was that was 100% perfect.
Yeah.
Especially the way Wolfman Jack discounts Al. Yeah, so go. I suggest anyone should say it. Everyone should say it.
All right. Well, I guess we'll start wrapping up a little bit. I got one last thing.
Okay.
I got Goat Simulator on Thursday, and I haven't moved since then. Well, that's obviously not true. I didn't even play it today.
Yeah.
Because once I start, I'm not going to want to stop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It is everything I wanted a Goat Simulator sequel to be.
Yeah.
It's so much bigger. It's so much more involved. And yet they didn't fuck with the whole just, you know, fuck around and find out from the original game. You can go in and just do nothing and just blow people up and things if that's what you want to do. Or there's so many little things you can do. Hunting for trophies is still there. But instead of 30, there's like hundreds.
Nice.
And there's all sorts of like mini games and little dumb things you can do. Plus it's multiplayer. I haven't even hooked the multiplayer up yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Michelle wants to play it, but I've been too busy playing it myself.
Oh, you say you have to share a machine, is what you're saying?
Yeah, the original game would run on practically anything.
Yeah.
But the new machine, yeah, you actually have to have a decent video card. Not great, but outside the stretch of most budget notebooks.
Gotcha.
Like the notebook I'm recording this on is like the CPU is twice as powerful as it needs to be, and the graphics card's only half as powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always satisfying when a game sequel comes out and it does deliver.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so much trepidation.
Yeah.
Because it's some of the add-ons, they tried to actually add a point or a plot, and it just ruins it.
Yeah.
The whole game is fuck around and find out.
Yeah, you want to keep that spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came across a video like on TikTok from the Goat Simulator people.
Yeah.
And when they were recording their audio, their sound effects for the game. And that's always fun to see, like people creating sounds like that.
Yeah.
So you see a guy who's like on all fours doing goat stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's maybe a 50% chance that they were actually doing that and weren't just screwing around for the camera.
Yeah, it's possible. But not, it's fun to see that stuff.
Yeah.
Because they still do, it's like a, that's definitely an art form doing audio, I'm not sure what the official term is.
Foley, isn't it?
What is it?
Foley.
Maybe.
F-O-L-E-Y or something.
Maybe. Because they still do that with, video games, movies, mm-hmm. like audio, it's still done like that.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's just because it is. It's just another form of art.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up. I like that kind of behind the scenes info.
Yeah.
Especially when they kind of peel back the curtain, but don't show you too much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you should look it up. It's pretty cool to see how some of that shit gets made.
Just like the way I've been watching this guy with talking about cruising.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much convinced I'm never going to go on a cruise. But yeah, I keep watching the videos because it makes me feel like an insider.
Yeah. How do you, before we wrap this up, this is a good question. How do you feel about people like live streaming from like fucking Disney World and shit like that? Have you ever seen a video like that?
I don't know.
Because there are plenty of times it'll come up in my feed, like lives, people are streaming live from like a Disney World ride. Like they're in line and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have watched live streams of strange things, but not from a person.
Yeah.
You know, like I was looking at the live stream from the beach before we went to try to psych myself up. I've watched live streams of famous train junctions and train yards.
Yeah.
But it's not something that I would sit there and actively watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just you get to hear the sounds. It's something to just have on the computer while I'm doing something else, working on a guitar or something.
Yeah.
It's just background.
Yeah. Now I see some of that stuff and like it makes me mad.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure is it just me, but it's like I don't know what makes me madder, the person doing it or the people that are watching and like interacting with it.
I have watched some weird ass live streams though.
Yeah.
I watched one person that just like a camera in their rat cage.
Where you just watch the rats.
Yeah. And, people are saying funny stuff about the rats and this and that. I'm not going to sit there all day, but yeah. I'll pop in every once in a while.
Yeah.
The thing is, I mean, it becomes kind of, I guess if you're friends with these people, and yeah. I do watch, weird Paul Petrosky live streaming from his house in Pittsburgh, but he's performing.
Yeah.
You know, he's joking. He's playing music live. He's, showing off what he got at the junk store.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Fripp and his wife, they do like a weekly YouTube show.
Yeah.
And all they do is just, it's him with his guitar and she sings and they just cover a song. And they don't do like the entire song. They only do like 2 minutes of it or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're not bad videos.
Yeah.
They're kind of entertaining. And,
I've kind of given up on regular TV.
Yeah.
I'm watching. I couldn't even begin to tell you. The thing with YouTube is I try not to go down the rabbit hole and watch nothing but a certain type. I try to pick a few favorites and just stick with them.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody just manages to get the information. I like things that are informative and entertaining.
Yeah.
And some people just do that so well that I stick with them. And other people, I just quit.
Yeah. What I love about the Robert Fripp stuff is, like people have, left him comments and like, hey, you should do this here. And his reply to all these people is just like, fuck you, I'm doing what I want. You know, gets their truck. Like, you should probably play it this way. It's like, this guy can fucking play probably circles around you, which I'm sure he can.
Yeah.
And but this person's like, fuck you, I'm gonna do what I want. It's like, it's not supposed to be mean anything. This is something we do. We like doing it. It's cool that people are watching. If you don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah. That's another thing. If you're in a cover band, you need to play it the way, or as close to the way they played it as possible. But if you're an original artist like him,
yeah,
you can play it any way you want.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we've covered Ramones songs and I'm playing it open, just putting on a capo and playing open chords.
Yeah.
Instead of bar chords, just because that's the way I feel like playing it. It's really hard for me to play bar chords and sing.
Yeah. Yeah. And most people don't care. I would say probably 98% of people don't care. It's always that hardcore group of, I don't know, fans or whatever you want to fucking call them, or yeah, purists. Like, oh, it's not supposed to be this way.
I mean, if I go to see a Ramones cover band, I kind of expect to see them play it the way the Ramones played it.
Yeah. Well, a tribute band. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense. The tribute band is basically just that band. That's mm-hmm. different from just saying you're going to do a cover of a song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would be pissed if I went to go see a tribute band like that popular one, Ace, you know, the Back in Black one.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we do all this in acoustics. It's like, yeah, we're just fucking leaving. Because you do.
I would be upset if they came out with the wrong kind of guitar.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the
I mean, sound. If you're a small band just starting out, that's one thing, but those guys have been around forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And they make a pretty good living just doing that.
Yeah. So I can imagine they could afford not only a Gibson SG, but probably the right year.
Yeah.
And if Angus buys a slightly newer or older one, they could afford that.
Yeah. I've seen those guys live. It was an accident. It happened. And, you're definitely getting what you pay for because they have it down.
Yeah.
They are a good tribute band. Like if you're looking for that, if you think you want to see AC/DC, they're probably the next best thing.
Yeah.
Because they got the sound, they got the look down, everything. I mean, if you really want to go see AC/DC songs, I guess.
Yeah.
Hell, I think there's only like two of those guys left in that band. Maybe three.
There's only one original member, but that's fine.
Yeah.
He was the creative force. So,
yeah.
Well, the two brothers, but now it's only one brother.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that as long as it is still kind of a going concern. I think once the creative force behind a band leaves, then maybe it's time to call it a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess if you really want to continue, but I mean, it's pretty much up to, it's Angus and Brian Johnson's show.
Well, it's just Angus. They've changed singers before.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Brian Johnson's, you know, like they did do, they had like Axl Rose at one point.
Yeah. But the thing is, not only Brian Johnson wasn't the original singer, Bon Scott wasn't the original singer.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, he was like the third or fourth singer for the band.
Now we're getting into AC/DC trivia.
Yeah. Their older brother was in a band called the Easy Beats that did Friday on My Mind.
Like trivia no one even cares about at this point.
Yeah. again, like we were saying, I'm the guy that you want on your trivia team because I know the stuff no one else knows and literally nothing else.
Listen, I can tell you Bon Scott's original band and the hits that he had, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's time to piss now.
All right.
Yeah, I think we've been going for a bit anyway, haven't we?
It's at least an hour and 10 minutes.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, by the time I get done editing, it'll be more like an hour even, whatever.
Yeah, that works. All right, well, I'm going to go anyway.
All right, well, this has been Couch 98. I was Dave.
I was Ron.
All right, see ya.
See ya.